actually on the committee, you don't even need to vote if people have problems. It's just anything on the agenda is then
able to talk. We can go through all the motions like we did at a previous meeting. Ben did a whole bunch of stuff, and then we couldn't even take action on it.
Who?
This one. All right, the 21st. Where is it?
Presentation? What's the first one? Oh, meeting.
I'm on the wrong one.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to move this table about 15 feet closer.
I'm blowing it up. We talked about daycare fees, rec center fees. We did request for proposals. I did give those to Dina yesterday. I finished the RFP. And don't quote me, 5-6 law firms. It was whatever law firm the area school district sent back. You know, so we sent those out. Budget update. This is what it says here. Currently, we have the auditors reviewing everything. So, this is good news. This is okay news. The recommendations. Anybody want any change?
I'm good.
Delete that. Done. All right, Nick, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
See, I don't know exactly what you want me to talk about first. I mean, for me, my biggest thing tonight, I think, is what questions do the board members have?
Yeah.
You know, what can I answer? What can I clarify? Those types of things.
That's a pretty open-ended thing.
Yeah.
But I really think, you know, we should go through those things. Like, let's go through whatever you guys have for concerns or uncertainties or questions. Be happy to go through anything.
I mean, frankly, some of us have less questions than us.
Yes, sir.
Well, can I start off?
Sure.
It's been a community question. They're wondering the $40 parking lot fee for the high school kids. they're wondering, you know, why is it so high? Where's the money going? They just want to know why.
That's a meme. If school districts, depending on where you go to school, they charge a different fee. It goes into the general fund, which probably eventually goes to help pay the wear and tear on the parking lot. But that's what it is. I mean, we've discussed it. Should we raise it to 50? Should we do this? Should we do that? That's what it is. Yeah.
And as always, if a family does have difficulty in paying a fee, they can always appeal to have it waived.
I think that's the important one because they didn't know about that waiving.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So any fee that is charged, most of these school charges, you can apply to have it waived.
Okay.
And then I know there was conversation about having kids pay extra to paint the parking and all that. And I ixnayed that because it would actually cost more at the end of the year to pressure wash it all off than it would be to do it. And then I know there was another thing that got to my desk about why do some kids have to pay less, or that because it's an incentive for I think it's ACT scores or something like that. Don't quote me on everything, but there's some incentives. So
I can tell you this, about that I was at a couple different places, and there were actually schools in Illinois that let the seniors paint their parking spots.
Yeah.
And they were, and what they did is just reassign them the same parking spots to the next year's seniors.
And you can either park on it,
or
paint it yourself.
100%. And they gave them like a week before school to come in and do what they wanted to do.
So we looked at all that. Like I said, it was
that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another option might be let them use chalk paint. Let them use chalk. And after a couple of rains, problem's over.
I guess the stuff that I have is probably more on the agenda. You know, that my presentation, I think what we really need to talk about is we proposed, Nick and Jessica, you're going to have to correct me if I misspeak. We proposed anywhere from a $1.2 million deficit to a 1.6. So why in my mind is it a variable? Because we should be putting money in a maintenance fund, 46, and we should be putting money into a retirement account. We should keep doing those types of things, you know, but yeah, we're basically taking from fund balance to fund the other accounts in around the
1.73.
Yeah.
1.73 just established this year.
Yeah.
Just going to make sure that
yeah. Yeah. So, depending on how you look at it, obviously that's what we proposed. We have to go back in because we've had a lot of change in hires. We have a lot of change of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And we know that staffing is the majority of that cost. So we have to go back in now that we have people's insurance information. We have their actual jobs where they're hired, depending on who had left since we did the preliminary budget presentation to you in June. So that could waver a little bit. I'm guessing it's not going to waver a lot, unless there was a boatload of people that didn't take our insurance. Maybe that would happen, but until we get those numbers in, we'll have that all in for the October meeting for sure.
Oh, so we still don't know like what was selected and if we're close in our estimates or not?
We know what was selected.
Here,
I'll show you. I'll show you for the sake of X, Y, and Z. I don't think they can read that, but we have a sheet like this where we have to literally type everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to go in and pick select what every person did, and then it auto tabulates their total cost to the district. So we literally have to go through every employee and double check that everything lines up.
New employees in service was what?
We just had that one. Yeah. So they're finishing.
They're still handing in paperwork.
Yeah, their paperwork now.
Which is very common. So usually you don't get those updates though. First week or 2 weeks of September.
I mean, in my mind, it's important to put into them both of them accounts each year.
Yeah.
Yes.
To some extent, you know, and we know the ages of our employees from their paperwork and
yep.
Can figure out an average on per each year of how many people can retire just to make sure that fund balance is to where it needs to be.
Well, there's added value for doing it, and I know last time I was here, I talked a lot about the concept of shared costs and making state funding, right? Fund 73, and the reason we asked you to set it up is make transfers of Fund 73. You can get categorical aid on the Fund 27 portion of that. So that's 40-ish percent, and I say 40-ish percent because as Mr. Newman already alluded to, it's not sufficient. So depending on how much districts around the state request or put in for that, we'll determine what the final percentage is. But by doing that transfer, you get categorically back, right? Which is 40% of the dollar, let's just say. So for every dollar you put in, you get 40 cents back from the state. So
in
that's a huge benefit.
Yeah.
It's a 73 for every dollar you put in from Fund 27. So that's a nice advantage of having your Fund 73 set up now. We're trying, and I don't know if it's going to work, but we're trying to get that transfer that happened in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get that dated to June 30th, so you can get that aid this next year, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. You'll get the aid the following year,
yeah.
Right? So it's just going to be a timing thing, but certainly if we can get money sooner rather than later, we're going to want to do that. But every year going forward, as you contribute to that fund, you're going to get that portion, not for the full amount, but for the Fund 27 portion of it.
And up to 40%.
Up to, well, it's supposed to go up to 43%, but where that's going to fall, I've just been saying roughly 40%.
Okay.
So, That's nice. Fund 46, and that's share cost, right? So when you transfer funds to Fund 46, you're getting share cost on that. So you're getting additional state categorically back based on your funding formula. And we're trying to get all the updates from the state right now as far as what the breakdown of the share cost is going to be. Still don't have that information, but that, again, takes pressure off the tax levy. It's by increasing that state aid through that transfer, it's a very positive thing.
So now Fund 46 is the only money that can be transferred to that is from 10 or?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And then once it's transferred to 46, the only way you can use it is for facilities, maintenance, improvements.
Right. So what is the?
You're always going to have them, right?
Yeah.
What is the advantage of transferring it to Fund 46 than just leaving it in the fund balance?
It's the share cost, as you're getting the share cost on that each year. So we talked last time, the more we can keep that share cost formula up through doing debt to fees that's transferred to Fund 46, the more aid you get back from the state, because you're in a very strong aidable position as a district. So the more we can increase that share cost or that spending, the better your amount of money you get back from the state is going to be, which means that's less of a burden on your taxpayers, which is really how we open up that ability to go to operating referendum without having to raise taxes, actually dropping taxes a little bit if that's the direction the board wants to go. Dropping the mill rate pretty significantly. We do have estimates for your property valuations. Those are estimated at 8.99% again. So that's a pretty big increase in property valuations. But I think it's really important for the board to recognize that as far as how it's going to be total tax dollars.
So it really is. Keep talking about that. I just gave them a mail yesterday, but not pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we gotta keep talking about the difference between mill rate and total tax dollars, right? It's not as simple as saying let's look at mill rate anymore. You gotta look at those total tax dollars.
Let me come back to that.
Absolutely.
So one of the questions that we keep talking about is state aid or shared costs. Is that the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So same thing. So in my discussion with Jessica today, as she was teaching me on the fly, state aidable things are operations, which would be Fund 10.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fund 46.
Okay. What about Fund 27?
Fund 27 is owned, but you have to transfer from Fund 10 to Fund 27. That's aidable. But so Fund 27, you get to categorically back as well.
So fund any Fund 10 to 27 transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fund 46.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Government.
Okay. So then my, if you could help me understand.
Oh, and Fund 73?
That was going to be my question.
So is that only, it's only of the 27 portion of it?
Right. So, or no, that wasn't even my question. So my question is about, we are maximizing our state aid, but doing debt defeasance to pay down.
I was
going to
say, I did forget that. Your debt payments in Fund 39 are able as well.
Thank you. Debt payments to Fund 39.
So remember, when we first got started with you guys, we took, you were doing higher levy and funding, right? So we shifted that to Fund 39 to begin cleaning your debt down earlier through the defeasance process, right? And that's what's really taken and pushed your state aid up by about $2 million. So you're getting that extra state aid back because of those debt defeasance you're doing, plus you're paying off debt, plus you're saving a lot of interest then.
Hold on, you're going way too fast.
Way faster than
Wow. All right, so you said a lot of key things here. So we are paying off loan quicker.
Yeah.
We are paying off interest. Reducing the amount of interest.
We're reducing the amount of interest. And remember, this is substantial. You're talking millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we're saving. Plus, you're getting state aid back on those payments. You would get the city back on those payments either way.
Eventually.
Right? But we're accelerating them, mm-hmm. right? And by accelerating them, we're taking pressure off the tax levy. So that's where you have a decision to make. You can keep doing defeasances. You can do a higher levy and funding for the senior board meetings. I don't think that's what you want to do. Or you can do some type of offering referendum. You can do a combination of both, or you can significantly decrease taxes. What I don't recommend you do is decrease your spending. That's my biggest concern for this district. If you decrease your spending, you're going to decrease your state aid. Your state aid drops, your taxes will go up. You'll have less to show for.
We can't decrease the spending in said aidable funds.
Correct.
We can decrease the spending in non-aidable funds.
Correct. Great clarification. Yep. But I just think that's something really important for us to really continue to look at and focus on is because of how we've been able to reshuffle your spending and shuffle your share costs to get more state aid, we put you in a much more favorable position. And if we decrease spending in those share aidable cost areas, you're going to lose state aid. And when you lose state aid, you have to rely on local taxpayers to pick that hole up. Right, or cut further. You can always cut, but you're going to have less to show for. So I hate to have you taxpayers that actually have less, right?
Increase costs locally and have increased costs and have less to show for it.
Correct.
Right. However, the strategic moves can be made of cutting monies from the non-aidable funds. And making sure that the aidable funds continue the way they have been.
Correct. And I think the whole picture on that is really looking at your taxes. Like looking at where we want that mill rate to be, where do we want those total tax dollars to be. And if you feel, I'm just going to say it, but 80's transfer of taxes is too high, right? We drop that down, like do we still balance it and do we do more debt defeasance? Or do we do operating or referendum? Or is it they're just doing a cut there? Like, those are all things to consider. You're absolutely right, Jason. That's not going to affect your state aid.
Right. And I kind of asked Jessica this in one way, but I ask you too. So let's just take Fund 80, for instance. What is our specific mill rate that is applied to just that fund?
No, I'd have to calculate that and figure that out. I don't have to talk about
that. All right. Tomorrow morning.
Well, I'm on vacation tomorrow, so maybe next week sometime. But I'm confident what Jessica kept there is probably right.
She did. We just small talked about
yeah.
it. So.
Yeah. Could you say less than 10%?
We'll pull up a revenue limit.
Okay.
You know, this is last year. We'll look at last year's revenue limit sheet just because that's
what it's
that we have.
I mean, that's
going to
get us close, right?
Yeah. So all you're going to do is to look at 10. And I don't think there's anything else in there. What do you look like? That should get your number. What is our estimated amount? Well, we didn't do a full month this year either. What is our estimated spending in Fund 80?
Spending?
Yeah. Do we know that?
Yeah, we calculated that out because we...
Is it spending or is it spending less?
Minus the...
Less local revenue. Yeah.
Nine. Hold on. I have it.
I thought it was like 2.1.
That's without any revenues.
You have daycare fees. Yeah. You have rec center fees that come back.
But that's what I mean. I think that
it's around. I'm thinking it's around one.
So if that was 2.1, the revenue of the daycare is 420 and it's 240. So
right
call
here.
It 660.
What do you have?
Right around 550 and 700.
One
so.
Two, one three.
Yeah, that's what Jessica's calculated. It was 1,363.
So people, and I don't know if people are watching your thing, but so they have these spreadsheets that they can just type these numbers in, and it goes and it comes out. So that's what you're kind of doing.
Yeah, so just roughly calculating this based on 2024-25, a couple of clarification things. Remember last year we didn't do a fund 80 revenue. So we're hypothetically talking right now. Yep. We're not talking about any actual dollars in place. It comes out to 1.37 of the mill rate is contributed to.
So of the 10.74, 1.37 of that.
Correct.
Is
so you could bring that mill rate down. The other way I think it makes more sense in today's time to think about it is it's a 1.36 million on your total tax dollar picture, right? And for me, I really want to emphasize that because the mill rate just isn't what it used to be 5 years ago because of high property values,
100%.
Right? So I think it's more important to think what is how much are we taxing in Fund 80.
I mean, they're doing a bunch of reassessments again, mm-hmm. and they just did it because I just got it in the mail.
Yeah,
and it went up immensely.
What?
$1,363,000. And that's rounded off, right? Now, this year, the recommendation we put forward was to do about half that in Fund 80 transfer, our tax.
Yeah.
Again, we're spending down the money that's in the Fund 80 fund balance, right? So that's why we're not doing taxes there currently, which is allowing you to do additional debt to use it, if you like to do it.
Only that's not Fund 80 mill rate, that's tax.
That's total tax.
Total tax.
Right.
The mill rate's about 1%.
Okay, can you go back then, Nick, and just
so it's a little over 10%.
Clarify what you and I have discussed the philosophies of this, and I think this is really important when we get to what I discovered today about putting out a survey.
Okay, so let me talk about mill rate versus total tax salary.
Yeah, because, when I get to what I met with School Perceptions today, and they gave me some ideas of how to put out surveys, et cetera, and they were talking about these two words or sayings. So, yeah.
Yeah, so historically, the way we measure taxes for districts is the concept of the mill rate, which is basically just taking the total taxes and putting it into the form of a mill. And essentially what we do is we move the decimal places three flat spots over, and that tells us what our mill rate is. Then we take a mill rate and we say it's, so 1.37, it's $1,000 and 327 on a $100,000 home. So we equate it to that equation. And historically speaking, when you're talking property tax increases, for sure less than 5%, and a lot of times it was less than 2%, right? So we're talking very minimal property tax increase. So for taxpayers, that was always the easiest way to like sell it and explain this is what the mill rate is, this is what your taxes look like, because you didn't feel it when the property values are so small.
Yeah.
The last 3-4 years, we've really shifted focus, and we talked more and more about, yes, the mill rate, for historical purposes, it is important for understanding, but so is total tax dollars. Because when we're talking about total tax dollars, we're talking about how it's going to impact actual taxes. And if you got somebody that's getting open their mail today and they got a 12% increase in property values, well, their portion of the tax bill just went up quite a bit. And you can feel that, right? You don't necessarily feel it at 2%. But if it's over 10%, you feel it.
Well, it's not there enough that people are going to really pay that close attention to it.
Correct. Where it gets 10-12%, 8.99 this year, your average, right? So you may have some people below that, you have some people over that. Unfortunately, you have winners and losers, just like anything else, where if somebody's got a property tax bill that went up 12%, your average is 8.99, you likely have somebody that has a property tax bill that went up 6-7%. Or they get changed at all. And if they get changed at all, their taxes are going to go down, actually, because the person that went up 12% is going to cover more of the bill than the other person is going to cover now. Right? And that fluctuates every year because you get reassessed all over, not always at the same time. So I think that's why it's really important that we keep in mind like that tax. So when I showed you those graphs last time, I showed you two different graphs. And what I put together was a strategy that brings down that mill rate pretty significantly. When I worked with the board last year, the board was really comfortable to stay at a flat mill rate. My encouragement this year is let's start bringing that mill rate down. And let's look at from our total tax perspective and total tax dollars, can we stay beneath our current? And when we put out a five-year forecasting based on the information we had today, we were able to present a model that would keep you less on total taxes all the way across those, that 5 years, that fifth year getting pretty close to what it is that's current. And I really think that's our strategy. It's really up to the board, like, how much less, right? If you want to bring taxes down, how much do you want to bring them down? What are your things you're going to fund? Are you going to fund 180? Are you going to fund debt defeasance? Are you going to look for an operating referendum here in a future year? All those types of things kind of come into play. And then that strategy of how we match those total taxes, and then naturally our mill rate's going to come down a bit. And then hopefully we can stabilize that mill rate, probably in the mid to low 9, opposed to 11.
So is this statement correct? When looking at tax dollars, you could move down the mill rate and still collect the needed money since property values have increased in a roundabout way?
In a roundabout way, but I also think we can't underscore enough the value of the shared costs that we've shifted and how we've increased our state aid. Because that's really, and we talked about that last year, just for simplicity purposes, I referred to about $2 million. You're getting about $2 million additional from the state that allows you to bring that total taxes down. Now,
and maybe another
thing. You're spending one up, right? But you're spending one up because you wanted it to go up. You get more money from the state, and you get more money from the state, it's less reliance on the taxpayers. So in my mind, you can take that $2 million and you can bring in a $2 million operating referendum if you want it to, and essentially fund it by the state because of that $2 million increase in state aid. That's not how it works, but that's, you know, essentially what's happening.
And maybe, well, finish writing. But when you look at tax, when you were talking about, when looking at tax dollars, the goal is to keep our tax, total tax levy below our current level, and doing that will also significantly reduce our mill rate.
I don't know if that's the goal or not.
Well, right? That could be a goal.
You're right. I just want, like, I had to bring something to you.
Yeah.
I just want to put something that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
yeah.
You were good. I mean, if we look at these things, we can't do an operating referendum from 2025-26, right? So $0 there. We're going to do about half the needed funding we talked about, right? So you could still do over a $6 million debt defeasance and do exactly what we talked about. Bring the mill rate down under 10. With the increase in property values, your mill rate would fall to about 9.52. And then we can match those taxes where they stay beneath. Now, if the board wanted to give direction and we want to drop taxes by $200,000, $500,000, then we just determined, are we going to do, instead of doing 6.2 on the debt defeasance, are you doing 5.7? Are you cutting something in funding like you talked about, right? That's an option too. I mean, where does the board really want to focus and what is the goal? And then we just want to make sure that we can, like, stabilize those total tax dollars over that five-year period. It's hard to forecast beyond 2 years. It just really is because of how the state budget works, right? But we still try to look out 5 years. Anything beyond 5 years is just, things are going to change way too much. But we're still, like, trying to look out there, but really it's 2 years at a time. And sometimes it's 1 year at a time because what happens at the state level is always a guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for what everybody else is thinking, but for me personally, I look at it this way. You know, the people of this district have been very, giving in the recent years in approving referendums for $40 million schools. And the last thing that we can do to the people of this district is increase their taxes more. And we have to really look at it and really think about, even with the, you know, appraisals continually going up, you know, because at the end of the day, all the taxpayers aren't looking at that. All they're looking at is the school tax went up another $250 this year, you know, or whatever it may have been.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
And I get those calls, and you get those calls. And, yeah.
I try to steer away from recommendations. I try to just come in and be neutral, give advice and stuff. But it is pretty hard for me to say, like, I don't feel like there's any reason to raise taxes here in any way. Absolutely, with the way we've structured this for you, we have a lot of, let's say it, Troy, opportunity to do different things, right, without having to increase taxes. You as a board need to decide we want to bring taxes down. Like I said, it's important to me to know what's going on with your board meetings and stuff, so I do find time to listen in a little bit and get some feedback. I think there are some desires there to do some changes, make some adjustments that impact the taxes. I think you're just at that point right now that you have to make that decision. Where are we comfortable? What do we want to do, right?
And this is the first time that I have ever heard anyone say, well, we can get more money and lower taxes at the same time. That's the first time in my career as on the board have both of those been true at the same time. And my gosh, that is a wonderful place to be.
It is. You are in a really good spot. So when I think about what you talk about your meetings, I think it's just you might want to step back a bit. And I don't want to say slow things down because you have to make decisions, but I think there's a way you should go about it, be strategic and how you have these conversations. You don't have to make a significant adjustments this year, right? But I think you have to have a strategic path forward on how we're going to do certain things over the course of the next few years. And I think you can do that at the same time you do bring property tax relief and still keep your share cost up, still keep that state revenue up, and still set a path forward that's going to create an opportunity to go to operating referendum. I'm going to say it, and I hope you don't mind me saying it, Troy, but I think this district should go to operating referendum. I think your challenge is going to be, like, what's that number, right? You can go to 4.5 and still decrease taxes.
What was that number?
4.5.
4.5.
You can still decrease taxes, right? But I don't know if I would advise you to go to 4.5. You just won't be doing any debt defeasance anymore.
I'll be honest with you. As it stands right now, it's going to be a hard sell for the 2, let alone 5.
I think you got to find that out. You got to find out what you want to do.
Yeah,
when I look at what Troy talked about from a deficit standpoint, and the things that we're strategically doing with how we're funding things, Fund 73, Fund 46, those types of things, I hate to see you cut those things out because of the positive impact they have to you as a district.
You're just kicking the can down the road.
Yes, and you're using an opportunity to collect state aid again. And you're hearing me say it all over and over again, the more we can keep those mechanisms in place to collect state aid, just the more it makes sense to take the burden off the local.
So can I, let's just use this 4.5. That's, to put it simple, if we would go to a $2 million referendum reoccurring, we're basically asking the public to put more money in our operations, and we would do 2.5 in debt defeasance yet.
I think those are conversations the board needs to have.
Okay.
You can do that.
If we would go to, let's just say, a $3 million referendum, we could do up to 1.5 debt defeasance and keep it. Or we could say, hey, let's do a $2 million referendum, and let's only put $1 million in debt defeasance. And that's 1.5 million less than the 4.5 up there.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
I think you have a lot of, that's what I was saying, is I think
when
you think about these different things, I think you're at the point where you have to start making some decisions. Certainly, the hard thing right now is you got to get to October 15th. That's the date we get all the final information from the state and we really know what that deficit's going to be.
Then that's kind of a hard number.
Right. Yeah. That's when things kind of get locked in for 25 to 26. You certify your budget at that point, you certify your tax levy. And when you hit November and December, you really need to start talking if you're going to operating referendum or not. I just honestly think the opportunity is right. I don't know the community really well, so those are things you guys have to sort through and what the number is and what you ask for and how you sell it. But it just makes a lot of sense so you can continue to keep your spending at that level. You can continue to do those Fund 46 transfers. You can continue to fund 73. Both good things to get money back from the state. I know there's a lot of conversation around the daycare. I think that's something you can study and have conversation over and look at how you want to make adjustments there to potentially bring taxes down. But I don't think that's an immediate decision. I think what your decisions are right now is really strategic. And where do we want to go in the next 2 to 3 years? Where do we want to be in 5 years, right? I I think those are the conversations you need to have. Kind of step back a bit, but set some direction as far as how are we going to progress with these things. And so Troy's point there, how are we going to adjust our tax levy? If you want to cut taxes by, say, $300,000, okay, we'll just lower the debt to fees this issue. That's an easy way to cut taxes. The cost of doing that is you have a little bit less to get back from state aid, and you're going to not be able to save your interest there. But what you're doing as far as saving interest and debt to fees, you're right up there as top end of the state. The work that you're doing, and you're going to have a 20-plus year bond payment paid off in half the time. Like, that's just incredible. And I think when you think about that, every year you have that decision you can make, what, how much do we adjust this? In my opinion, you just buy that medium as well as taxes, and you take that burden off the taxpayers and pull it.
Okay, here's my question for you, though. So in 10 years, the bond's paid off, then what?
They ever wonder how the districts have turf football fields? I'm not saying you should go for that, but that's why districts have turf football
fields. We
want
to go.
But I'm just saying, that's why.
Now, to follow that, the Land Use Committee last week met. The Land Use Committee thought that we looked at the Taj Mahal that Rettler and Huffman...
They didn't give that number, did they? It's between 12 and 15 million, the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, that's for doing all kinds of... Yeah. But, and there was basically no support in the room for that. There was, shockingly, no opposition to redo the track and take the football field, widen it, and make it a true athletic field and turf it. There was everyone in that room said, I mean, yeah, that's the direction. Now, looking back, so when you go to the 4.5, we needed a 2 or 2.5 recurring for costs. But if you would throw in that extra, you know, 1.2 million or what? No, what was it?
2.5 for turf.
Huh?
2.5.
Oh, no, almost 3 million for the
track
track and field upgrades. Was that it?
I can't. That's what it said.
Yes, it was right around.
Okay.
And then
I wrote the note. I can't remember.
It was right around three, and it was fixing the jumping pit area, and then possibly turning the baseball diamond into a baseball softball field.
So when we go there, another way to look at it is we have a possibility for that 4.5. We could do a recurring. We could for let's say 2, and then we could do that for. Over 5 years, that would be, you know, an extra 700,000, 800,000, whatever number you feel comfortable with.
To a facility referendum.
To a facility. So it would be not a single referendum. It would then be a operating and then the turf, and it would both of those would fit under the 4.5, and we could still give both tax relief and certainly mill rate relief. And that's going to be a tougher sell for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that's the point right there. Like,
but that's why it's two questions as well. That's what I would recommend.
I'm not a big fan. Let me honestly say, I'm not a big fan of two questions.
Okay.
Because two questions, I think, makes it more complex. I think it makes it harder for people to understand. And then I think that asking the two questions hurts the other question.
I don't disagree at all.
Facility is more important than the operating. I think running the operating with the facility hurts the facility one.
I think the operating side
more important than the facility, then I think running a facility hurts the operating. I think if you want a strategy like that, you look at what is our operating need. Is it 1.5? We talked about 1.2, 1.6 to 1.5. We feel comfortable going to $2 million referendum. $500,000 of that is for facility improvements, right? So you're collecting 2.5 over 5 years for facility improvements. Do you do bonding at 2.5 then, so you can do upgrades next summer, right? So you do bonding. Do you do bonding over 5 years? Do you do over 10 years? Your risk of doing over 10 years is you have to pass two operating referendums, not just one. you don't pass another operating referendum in 5 years from now, now you got whatever's left of that bond that you've got to pay for. So that's a risk.
Well, the thing about it is right now, interest rates are not in the
favorable. Yep. I think those are things to decide.
And they may or may not be better in the future.
But I want to go back a little bit to the question Jason asked a little bit later, and I think Ben brought it up too, is eventually that debt's going to fall off. 10, 12 years from now, then what? And I think when you start thinking at that point, first of all, I'm in close retirement, so I don't know if I'll be here to help you with that. But that aside, I think you really want to make sure when you start getting closer to that point, you strategically start thinking about it. Because you might decide that we want to stretch that debt back out. And why would you want to stretch that debt back out? Because you might want to go to a facility question. You might want the Taj Mahal at that point. Because if the Taj Mahal makes sense for this community, as hard as it is to say that, if you can do that and not increase taxes, and if you don't do that, you're going to decrease your state aid, and then you're going to increase taxes, that makes no sense. That's why school districts have turf football fields. That's why school districts have these really elaborate field houses or athletic complexes. It's
you got to look at it this way, too. In that amount of time, we don't know. Maybe AI is teaching in the classrooms.
And as you said earlier, 5 years out is incredibly difficult to forecast. Yeah. 10 years out,
100%.
Yeah, you don't know.
But that's the answer to the question, is you're going to want to, at that time, have some really in-depth conversations strategically again of what do we need, and what are those needs of the district, and how do we keep this funding at a certain level? Because it's the same thing with fees. I don't want to go down a different path, but when you have fees coming in, you put yourself in a position that if you don't have those fees, now you have to be more reliant on the tax dollars. If you're more reliant on the tax dollars, your state aid's less. Right? So it's a cycle, and the more and more I've been in this field, the more and more I understand it, and I've tried to help districts navigate how to maximize that potential of getting more money from the state and relying less and less on the local tax dollars.
Well, and the thing is, too, even though that's tax dollars from taxpayers at the state level, we kind of got to take the approach and put the realization to everybody that this is enabling you to get some of our
taxes
dollars.
That
somebody's going to get.
We're going to our state taxes will not be affected at all.
Correct.
If Clintonville gets more money back.
Correct.
If Clintonville gets less money back, our state taxes aren't going to be affected either. It does not matter. But locally, if you can decrease your property taxes locally, that makes a big difference.
So let me comment on that a little bit, because you hear me reference shared costs all the time, right? Well, how the state funds school districts is there's a pot of money, right? And when I say shared cost, what share of that pot of money comes to Clintonville? That's really what we're getting at. That pot of money is going to be the pot of money no matter what happens, mm-hmm. right? We just want to make sure Clintonville gets more than other districts, as much as we possibly can, because it's not going to change anything from your tax dollars. They're going to be there for the districts. Right now, there's other districts that are getting more than Clintonville, and we want to shift that. We have shifted that. Now that we've shifted that, we want to keep that, and we want to maintain that.
Okay.
You got all that written down?
I sure do.
All right. You type faster.
No, you guys repeated a lot of stuff. I didn't have to type a lot of stuff the second time. I just, and you guys have this sheet, I'm just going to bring up my stuff, I'm kind of going to skip to B. You know, the other reason why we're here is cybersecurity keeps going up, the cost for cybersecurity, health and benefits, obviously, you know, cost of living, general cost of operations, you know, the price of gas and vehicles, da-da-da-da, heat, all of that. Technology has really, I was operating at around a $250,000 budget. We're now in the 450s because when you talk about all of the stuff behind the scenes, you have to keep upgrading.
You know what I'm hearing now? Ever since Troy became the IT guy, the price is
okay.
Yeah.
20% increase.
And then we also talked about the Fund 73, Fund 46. And one of the interesting things that Stephen Rinke mentioned is doing the turf field might make sense, because pretty soon that crown is going to get too big and that field is going to get so high that we're going to have to rebuild the grass field anyways. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to strip it down and rebuild the grass.
And we're definitely going to have to rebuild the track.
Track.
And we're going to have to rebuild the grass.
Yeah.
At some time.
Yeah.
And
so
then
that
why
we already know the grading out there is not
right. Wrong. It's wrong.
Correct.
Yeah. So, all right, back to health and benefits and insurance. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to bring that up because I think that's kind of like your wild card type thing in your operating budget. You're in a difficult position right now with health insurance, and we're doing some things to try to change that. And what exactly that could result in, I don't know. But I hope we can find a big win. Because when I talk about a big win there, you're talking 1.2, 1.6, you might find $500 million in health insurance. Like, you're that upside down, right? Where if we can fix that and we can put it in a better position, not just for this district, but for the employees, which I guess is what I'm saying, but you know what I mean? Like, there's this twofold. Like, that's a huge wild card. And I want to believe those opportunities are there again. It's going to be time before we find out, but we have to, like, take and focus on that. Because there's so much there, you've got to offer it to compete, right? You have to offer it. You can't not. Mm-hmm. But if we can offer it in a way that makes more sense for employees, that way it makes more sense from an expenditure standpoint for the district, that's the path we got to find. And there's opportunity for significant adjustments there.
So, how many employees signed up for health insurance?
I don't have it calculated yet. I don't know. 70%?
So 90?
And,
is that 70%?
It'd be more than because it'd be
yeah.
more than just the teaching staff. It's all staff.
It's more than teachers. It would be 90 of. Let me look at my other slide here. There's 70% of 180 staff. I would say not all of them are eligible. Probably 140 are eligible. So maybe around 100 people. 90 to 100 people, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 100 people, and what did we project that it was going to cost us for health care? What we were guessing.
I don't know. I don't have those numbers. I could get them not now.
Chris, you're being quiet. You're supposed to remember that.
So I think one thing that you know, I like to suggest, too, is that I think I should establish a finance committee. Like, I think this is a great opportunity to filter all your finance questions through the committee. So, like, you have questions right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be great for Troy to take notes of those and then report back to the full board at the next meeting.
We've been doing that.
Okay. And
yeah.
I think that's the way you really should steer your finance questions.
And that will be, that's the next thing, recommendations to the board. Mm-hmm. And it will be,
yeah.
Those will be included.
Those individual questions get hard because, one, people ask questions differently, and then, two, not everybody gets the information, right? And I think to make the best decisions as a full board, everybody has to be operating with the same information. So I would really encourage that you ask the full board to filter questions through this committee, give the administration here time to put those questions together, and answer them at the board meeting from the full board.
Yep.
So one of the questions that is going to come up at the board is, because it was something that you had mentioned one of the first meetings, is that you should plan on doing a survey quick in the fall and get her done and whatever. And there might be a board member or two that feel that we got to get on this tomorrow.
Okay.
And what would your recommendation be?
Good
because
question.
I know that question will probably come up from somebody.
I have some answers too to that.
Let me go first. Or you want to go first?
You go first.
All right. So the one thing I always like,
is everybody okay if we skip from A to B to C and
oh,
keep going back and
sorry,
forth? No, it's fine. It's fine.
We told me to talk.
Yeah.
So,
right. So the chair can't complain too much.
So the one thing I will say about surveys, though, is for me, no matter who you're serving, if you don't plan to analyze and be able to react to the survey results, then don't do a survey, right? That's the first thing I would absolutely tell you, is if you don't feel like you can respond to the results of the survey for the community, then don't do a survey. If you feel the information from the community is helping you to be prepared to respond to it, help for it, and trust for it, then I think it is important to survey the community. But I think that's really important piece on that is you as a board have to be willing to be open to whatever feedback you get from the community. Maybe you don't need to survey because you feel like you have that information. I don't know those things. You as a board probably have to know those things. As far as how soon you have to survey, I don't think it's tomorrow. When we talked with Dean, and Dean was at the finance committee, you remember Dean, right? One of the things he talked about was educating the community first, right? And I think that's really important right now. You're starting to get to the point where you're running out of time to do that, right? And I think there's a lot of controversial stuff being talked about right now, and somehow you got to start shifting that narrative to get to how do we educate what we're going through? How do we talk what we talked about tonight? Because I think we all agree here, sitting here, like, we're in a good spot to bring down taxes, to do good things for this district, do good things for the kids, but how do we make sure the community understands that? So my encouragement, Chris, to answer your question, is what you need to start doing tomorrow is that. You need to get somebody like Dean here. I'm not saying you have to work with Dean. There's other options out there. Maybe you do it internally, but you need to start educating the community before you survey. And as you educate the community, that'll help provide answers to a couple different things. What do we need to ask the community? Do we need to ask the community anything? Maybe we find out from the education that we know what we need to know, right? Those are things I think get answered through educating the community. And I think they'll help give you better guidance as far as then what you do with the survey. Because I think it's really important to be prepared to respond to the survey results and how you go forward from there.
And an educated populace can inform you
better.
Better.
Correct.
So are we still looking at a deadline of a question for April? There's somebody that feels that we got to get moving on this because we've got a strict deadline if we're going to get it on the election for
April. So I guess, yeah. And with that, tell me if I'm wrong, when Dean came, I think at the end of it was, we like you said, we need to educate the community first, and we have to have the solidness of what we're going to need to go out for before we're going to send surveys out, because we got to have the information.
Potentially. I think a couple of different things to think about that. When we talk deadline, first of all, like the only deadline you have, and I'm sorry I don't have the exact date, but it's roughly mid-January. You have to, as a board, take action on, if you're going offering a referendum or any type of referendum, to get that question on the ballot.
On the second week of January, yeah.
Now, if that deadline is January 20th, we'll just say, I don't know what it is off the top of hand. Let's say it's January 20th. You can meet on January 19th and make the decision that day. Like, that's your deadline. Now, would I recommend coming in on January 18th and making the decision with deadlines of January 20th? I would absolutely not. But that's why I think right now you've got to start laying out the groundwork of how you're going to educate the community, and then what you're going to ask that referendum survey. Do you want to have specifics, or do you want to leave it more open-ended to get more feedback from the community? I mean, I heard the Taj Mahal type thing mentioned before. Like, what of that are things we want to ask the community about? Do we want to ask the community about those things?
Well, I think that's one of the tasks of the Land Use Committee was to put some of these feelers out and get, I mean, there were 20 some people there, get a feeling of those people. And none of them wanted the Taj Mahal, and everybody was either, well, kind of makes sense, or fully formed on that.
I think 90%, 80% of the community ain't going to go for another 15.
I would not recommend it.
Here's the last thing I'll say. Let's just spread out questions on surveying. The one thing to always keep in mind, you as a board of seven members are elected collectively to operate the district in the best interest of this community, regardless of the feedback that you get. And I really think it's important to have that understanding as well, because we've identified certain things here, specifically, I'm going to repeat myself, does not make sense to decrease spending. Because you're going to decrease, if you decrease spending, because that's what the community says, you're going to harm the community, right? Because you're going to get less state aid, you're going to have to increase taxes. So it goes back to education, which might be what you're going to say.
No.
Okay, but at the same time, you've got to brace yourself that we still have to make the decision in the best interest of the district.
Well, what I was going to say is, you're right, the spending has to stay where it is in the areas where it needs to.
Fair.
But there is strategical areas to reduce spending without hurting that process.
And my response to that is, that's why I think you as a board need to start strategically talking about what that looks like.
Well, I think the biggest thing between the three of us is we got to help the rest of them understand the way it all works, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in, I've been reading a bunch of this stuff, so, yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Oh, my good God, I ain't even going to tell you.
I'm glad I'm 20 years in, because I get it now, right?
Yeah.
It took a long time. Yeah.
But that's why I said about the when you were talking about the aid thing, because I read about that.
Was that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, do you have any ideas as to what is effective ways of getting the community?
Can I interject?
Educated.
Sure. Oh, educated? Oh. That one, I have ideas, but I don't have like other ideas than Troy's ideas.
Having been here when we've done other referendums.
It's a lot different now.
You call a meeting and maybe four or five people show up in this huge auditorium. You go to town meetings and you talk, and you might reach maybe 10 if you're lucky, but you don't really reach the ones that are going to be at the polls.
Mm-hmm. Or a small portion.
Yeah.
So, a little bit, I'll comment on that a little bit. Dean from our office, he's just fabulous at this stuff. He really is. Again, there's other people in the state too that are fabulous at it. So I think having an expert to help with that is probably a good idea. But just my understanding is we're streaming live right now. Is that correct? Yeah. So, I mean, when we talk about getting information out, we're streaming live right now, right? How we get information out is different than what it was probably the last time you went to a referendum. There's a lot more streaming live. There's a lot more social media. There's a lot more social media platforms that my kids use. I don't know what the heck they are, right? But we have to talk about where is community getting information? Where is this community getting information, right? That's what's important, and that's why I can't directly answer it, and that's why I would defer to experts that can help guide that. But you have to have that understanding, too. Where is this community getting the information? And you need to target those spots, because you're right, Chris.
I am not liking Clintonville. Let's talk about it for the record.
I am not in it, so I do not know what's being said in there.
Can I shift it just a bit? Because this is one of Jason's points that has always been, how can you bring up projections if you don't know prior to October 15th numbers?
Oh, yeah.
So, how would you go about now beginning the education process, understanding that those October firm numbers are maybe 98-99% correct, and it's only that 1-2% that's really going to end up changing? So,
it's similar how I try to work with the board. If you think back to when I first started talking to you, I didn't talk a whole lot about the numbers, right? I talk more about the concepts. When you hear me come here, I talk a lot about concepts opposed to direct numbers because the numbers change. Because the concepts don't change. The law hasn't changed much. We've had the same funding formula since 1990. I was 8 years old, right? I've just turned 43, so that's 35 years. Quick math, right? So it hasn't changed. The concepts are what we have to focus on, because until the law changes, we don't have anything else. As long as the funding formula stays the same, that's where we can project out 5 years. And conceptually, we can talk about that. if there's an adjustment, we adjust. That's where the debt to fees that Troy was talking about earlier. That's where you decide. We were in a position before we managed the mill rate. We're in a position now where we can manage total tax dollars, right? So if something changes and you have a choice of increasing taxes by $200,000 or decrease in debt to fees by $200,000, you have a choice to make, right? And I think it's important to educate them on the concepts and understanding the importance of keeping costs up because of all the research you did. And we need to share that. And it takes a lot to understand those things. So we got to keep it as simple as we possibly can. That's where somebody like Dean does come in and you share those things. I know you're not going to like this, but I'm going to say it. If the place you said it's where people go to get information, you have to consider that as some place you want to put information, right? If that's where people are getting their information, you've got to address things there. Chris, to your point, I don't know if it makes sense to put a meeting together in the gym, in the library, whatever. But people don't come to those things right now. There's a lot different. I mean, I can speak to all the kids' events I have. Like, finding and chasing my kids around and stuff, it's really hard for me to get into the library to listen to the school board talk. Right? So.
For timelines, and I know you're going to skirt around this question. I know you are.
Well, can I just plug my ears then?
No. Ideally, this spring would be a good time. Do you feel we can wait a whole nother year with the numbers you possibly know?
So what I'll tell you is when I talked with the full board last, there was some pretty strong opinions about fund balance, right? In wanting to maintain a certain level of fund balance, okay? So I'm not going to skirt around the question.
Okay.
Right? I heard Jason say tonight, I think Ben and Chris, I'm assuming you're going to agree that Fund 46 transfer is important for the district. Fund 73 transfer is important for the district, right? So if we want to maintain those things that we think are important, we really have two options. Because even though we have room within the total taxes, we can only increase our dollars in Fund 10 by so much. There's revenue limits, right, that cap what we can do. So with that cap in place, the only other option we have is debt defeasance, but that doesn't take care of fund balance, mm-hmm. right? So if you want to keep doing transfers of Fund 46, you want to keep doing transfers to Fund 73, you want to keep your fund balance at a certain level,
you gotta get rid of cap.
You've got to go to operator referendum.
Yeah, but and that's important for people to understand, too, that it's raising that cap.
Correct.
And it's allowing the things like that. So at the end of the day, the way I look at it and why I think those two things are important is the number one thing is for future boards, whether it's us people that are on it or not, or the next you guys that are taking care of it, when we're going down the roads of figuring out what the budgets are, there's no guessing games in it because we have them funds available to us for retirements, for unknown maintenance costs that come up where we don't have to say, or the next super, well, Troy's will probably be here 30 years yet.
At least.
So Troy has to deal with it. He don't have to come for that year and say, oh, shit, guys, we're $1.5 million deficit this year because we got to put a new roof on.
Right.
Yeah, I'll step away from Troy. I'll go to Steven, right?
Yeah.
How much easier do you think he's going to make his life? If you have a really strong maintenance person, director of buildings and grounds, and you trust is going to manage those funds, is going to manage your preventive maintenance that's going to update things when you need to be updated, and you're going to give him the opportunity to do those things, imagine what he can do.
I'll be the first to say I think Steven's one of the employees here that he does a very good job at, I'll use the old saying of looking past his nose, so looking into the future on things and saying, okay, in 3 years we're going to be needing to do this, so
he does the school board absolutely have to give him the financial resources to continue to do that. Because if you don't give him the financial resources to do that, he can look as far past his nose as he wants, but his hands are completely tied in.
Well,
but he's still going around with 5 gallon buckets collecting the rainwater,
Well, but at the end of the day, if you don't do it, you're just kicking the can down the road to set yourself up for failure in the future, mm-hmm. for the future budgets. Because what everybody has to understand, the best way to put it is, that money can only come from one place, and that's the money from the education part of
the money. Take care of the facilities.
So, and that'll be taken away from the kids' educations and put to other places.
Correct. You're saying really well. I'm going to steal his buckets. You have buckets, right? You have buckets for maintenance. You have buckets for salary and benefits. You have buckets for curriculum. A bucket for technology, right? And you keep going, right? You know, how are you filling those buckets? Mm-hmm. And that's really important. So that's why, you know, I'm going to tell you, in my strong opinion, is you need to go to operating referendum and info to continue down this path and the things we've talked about and the things we've started doing here to balance those buckets and make sure you're taking care of all the needs of the district. And there is the opportunity to do that without having to increase taxes.
So can we come back to the education part after I'll talk about what school perceptions told me today? Because I'm trying to process this and I can't right now because the timelines aren't matching up with what school perceptions told me based on education as well. So what school perceptions told me is that, let's just go to the timeline right here. There's a kickoff, a strategy, set up the info, receive benefits, then there's a report. And you know, these are the key things. It takes about a month to prep, 3 weeks to print the surveys, 3 weeks mailing, 2 weeks reporting. So they kind of told me that they would like to get this rolling. If we were going to put out a survey with school perceptions, by the latest, early October.
I think there's some flux there, but I also will say that that's fine, because you can still educate the public while you're prepping.
Correct.
Right? So there's overlap there for sure. But I'm just going to be blunt and say that you collectively have to start having those types of conversations.
Yeah.
Because if you don't start having those types of conversations, then you're going to have a time issue.
Yeah.
Right? There can be overlap in these two things. So you can educate the public for one, two months, and then you're ready to go to survey. Because you prepped it, and you're prepared. You can tweak it based on information you're hearing. Right? You can certainly tweak it. But...
But I mean,
beginning of October, end of October.
If you're looking at, I mean, they're talking 3 full months essentially, especially if you throw in a Christmas holiday.
Yeah. Well, they're talking ideal case scenario.
I mean, you're looking.
They said they've had a turnaround in way sooner than that, but the board knew exactly what they wanted on the survey. Boom, 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 done.
I think we would go to them with exactly what we want on the survey, and they do it.
I'm kind of in agreement, and to use some people that have the ability and the knowledge to educate first, to educate the populace, but to educate the board to figure out, hey, and maybe to your earlier point, if you get the education part done well, maybe the referendum is the actual time when you're asking
the
people what that's the survey. Yeah. The referendum is the survey.
Absolutely.
I did ask some questions because I wanted to know some questions. How do you ensure that each person only takes their survey once? How do you ensure that only Clintonville taxpayers take the survey? And they said that their surveys have come a long way, that each household gets a survey, not each individual. Each household gets a survey. It does include apartments, does not include nursing homes. Okay? And each one can either return their paper survey, and then it's manually entered, or they can submit it digitally with a QR code. And there's only so many QR codes per houses that are in the district. Each house essentially has its own
QR code
that they type in.
Well, can't they set up their system to do it off the, what's it called, Marie? Troy, when you send something from a device, it has an address.
Oh, the IP address.
Yeah.
So it only allows one per... that.
So that's what they do. So they actually pay a third party to collect all the addresses for them. They do that. Anyways, this was interesting, which counteracts exactly what we're talking about. research shows that it's more likely to pass. But I said, I was explaining to the person, ours I think is a very unique situation. You know, it's written at a fifth grade level. It would be, he's going to give us the actual cost if school perceptions would be evolved by Monday's board meeting. Anybody said it's going to be less than $10,000. Now, my brain with this and what you had just said, I think we need to get Dean involved for the education piece. And then...
sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he helps us more with the survey.
Yes.
Well, I think it can go hand in hand.
If and how. If and how.
I got a question. Why would we pay somebody and not just put a survey monkey out there?
Because then you can't control these things.
Because
it can
then,
only come from
because I could do it from my phone, I could do it from my iPad, I could do it from my home computer, I could do it from my office.
I could send it to all my relatives in another
state. What are
you
trying to tell us?
That I'm a tech wizard.
Ben, what did I get?
I thought you were going to say I used the bolt six times.
I was thinking the exact same thing, doing it internally. Okay, just I could make a Google survey in no time, but I would have to, or whoever does it, collect the names and the addresses, and then manually figure out if their vote survey counts or not.
Yeah.
So that's why this company does it for you. Yeah. So, anyways, that's what I know about school perception. And how they've changed. Anything else?
I do want to go let you guys know, I am not live streaming.
Oh.
This is just, it's getting, yes, it's recorded,
yeah.
But it is not live streamed.
She knows, she's got to do that to bleep out all my swearing.
I don't bleep out nothing. No, I'm actually checking the audio because I don't know, I'm still learning the software yet, and now I buy a new computer, so I'm learning everything.
All new audio is being installed for Monday night's board meeting.
Again!
Oh, this one wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's another good example. We can record these things, and we can send out recordings.
Yeah.
Right? So now you can watch it when it's convenient for you.
Well, trust me, they're getting shared enough lately.
Yeah, I mean, you can, you might have said, you can make a QR code. I learned how to operate QR codes about 6 months ago, so... But,
To operate it? Well, yeah, he's even worse than I am.
I just learned how to do them on, get them on my phone.
I learned that a year ago.
So on the board agenda is about surveys, and I think we have to talk about that when it gets to recommendations to the board. You know, we need to get... Dean involved sooner than later on education? Is that one of our recommendations?
I personally would recommend that. I don't know about the other.
I agree because I think we still have board members that aren't on board with it.
Yeah. And if you...
Well,
if
there
you,
is. I'm one of them.
And you're the head of the finance committee?
Well, right.
Out on the playground.
I haven't seen the proof in the
detention.
Pudding yet.
So what proof do you think you need?
You wait till Nick and Jessica get my list of questions they have to answer by Monday.
This has been on my mind for a long time. It's like we're just spinning our wheels when the full board isn't even on board.
Yeah. That's why.
We can talk all we want, and then a board member goes out into the public and
I will make this statement. From my individual conversations with every board member, I think that we are closer than ever to people understanding the need for Fund 10, but the concern still is the overspending in Fund 80. I think that's safe to say.
Honestly, and that become that is from community engagement, to be 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
And I agree with exactly what you're saying. And everybody can get there. That's what I'll say, is everybody can get there. Is everybody both feet in right now? Absolutely not.
So,
you know, are some
that
just
should be our first step.
Are some of them starting to think,
Put their toes in? Yeah. But like Troy said, and just like we're talking about the community, the knowing and the education of this is probably one of the biggest parts. And honestly, I am going to send you guys a bunch of questions that I've been asked and don't have the answers to that we need to share with the board. And one of the good things that we should do, too, is just break down all them funds and just have a line item over the other side and what mill rate applies to each fund, approximately. You know, and, you know, now Troy's got that in the notes with the aidable funds and the non-aidable funds. So them are key pieces of information to have for everybody. So everybody knows and can grasp the concept of the entire thing, of what you're, the information you're telling, and also at the same time, allowing people to understand that, you know, Nick's saying we need to keep the spend up. Well, yes, we do here. But it's not meaning we have to do it here. And there's ways that we can make everybody happy, which most definitely is the taxpayers of this community, and saying we're doing the best we can to lower spending here, and we want to take the cap for our education side of things and move it up. And that's honestly what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think just a couple of comments to that, Jason. I get what you're saying about the funds, right? I think you're better off looking at it from a percentage basis on total tax dollars than a mill rate. The mill rate confuses it, I think, for some people.
Percentage.
A percentage of total tax dollars. So I think it's really important to talk total tax dollars. I really would encourage that, because that's really what taxpayers are feeling. So I think talking total tax dollars and percentage of total tax dollars, I think makes more sense to me with just feedback. Go ahead.
So the only reason I say that the mill rate, I don't disagree with what you're saying, I agree with that too, but, you know, people are going to be thinking in their head, okay, they're telling me that we can lower the mill rate to 9.7 from 10.7, but this ain't penciling out to me because, you know, but if they take away from this one and this one and this one that don't apply to the aided funds, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And I'm not saying that essentially to put that information out to the, you know, to the masses and try to use that for education of the people, but for the people on the board to help them understand of the...
Just how do you want to present that, right? I think, you know, Chris kind of said it right too. You have an elephant in the room. I really believe that from observation.
Yeah.
And you need to take care of that elephant. You honestly, as a board, need to take care of it so you can collectively come together on the things that you need to prioritize. And my opinion is to take care of that elephant, you got to put together a strategic path forward. And I don't think that can be solved, in my opinion, tomorrow or next month. I think you've got to figure out a strategic path forward on where we want to go with that situation and set a path of how you're going to get there over the next year or two.
Well, and I wholeheartedly agree with everybody that we all have to come together and find the common grounds of what we need to do and the decisions we need to make, because without doing that, it's honestly dead before it gets started.
So can I speak up as the only community member that is not on the board and is never going to be on the board?
Lucky.
I'm going to say that's probably not the right term.
You keep coming back. Never
say never.
This last year, it's never. My name will never be on another ballot, ever. So, however, one of the things that I did learn is there's only two people in this room that were at both of the Q&As. Jason, were you at the second Q&A or just the first one? Okay, so I am the only person that was at both Q&As. The community does want to know the questions, and they put those of us who had never sat in here for more than a couple of meetings seriously in the hot seat. Like, they were asking us hard questions, and that's part of why I'm in the seat. That's part of the reason why the cameras are up, because people have questions. They want to know, and it actually means more that not everybody is all – you know, full board, like, yeah, we're going to go ahead with this because the community has questions, and it makes us feel better knowing that there are still board members that are with us going, okay, we need to narrow down this. We need to dig in here. We need to find out the whys. So this finance committee is amazing because we're digging. We are showing the confidence, and we're asking those hard questions. I realize it's not fun for you guys. I know that. But it means a lot. It means a lot to the community. It means a lot to me. Like I said, and this is going to help because it shows that accountability, because right now everybody's just seeing blank check. We also, as taxpayers, are looking at the, you're trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. There's only so much blood in that turnip. So knowing that we're digging and we're seriously trying to figure out what is truly, honestly best for the community and for the students, that's both of them, because you got to go both. It's what's best for the community and for the students. That's why this is so important. And I know that you guys didn't necessarily agree with this. As a community member and as a member of the media, I'm telling you, this is really, 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 really important. People are paying attention. And I know that Troy's not a big fan of Let's Talk About It. I'm not in it. I haven't been in it since
June. I'm not in it either.
So I don't know what's being said. I get tidbits every once in a while if somebody's like, here, you need to go ask this question. Because they know I will ask the questions because I got nothing to lose. So, like I said, I do want to thank you guys for doing this. I appreciate you guys coming out. I know it's, you know, I know we're having a lot of meetings, and I know we're asking you a lot of hard questions, but this is what we need to know.
Okay. So, yeah, so I have on here, get Dean from CISA-8 involved in communication education. Need to get board educated and figure out strategic plan forward. Find common ground. Need to start to make decisions on priority of where funds need priority. So that is totally redundant. Need to start making decisions, period.
There you go. And probably something like, prior to the survey, we need to have education comes prior to the survey. The education begins, is required before the survey goes out.
So honestly, I have one more thing out there for you, because I just think it's incredibly important. It's just my observation outside looking in. You got to deal with your elephant in the room. It's got to be number one up here, because you're not going to get to one and two. I think it's your daycare, your fund 80.
Figure out daycare and fund 80.
What's your strategic path forward there?
I think you just need to say fund 80, period, because our rec center is on there, our liaison officer is on there. There's a lot of things that come out of fund 80.
Our middle school.
Trucker U, there's a lot of things that taxpayers are paying for. Yeah. And you can't just focus in on daycare.
I agree, Chris. And I was reprimanded this week to say, it is not the Delwood Daycare Center. It is the Delwood Child Care Center. And we should begin to remember that it is a child care. We are not providing daycare. We are providing child care as opposed to other institutions who do provide daycare. We provide.
Charge more?
Yes.
I was joking.
No.
I was joking.
No, I mean, seriously. Yes.
Just because you, I got accused of getting shut down the daycare.
Me? What did I do? I said, Ben's the one that made the motion. I did.
One teacher.
Which one was this?
The rate increase.
Okay.
Just my brother's down in Appleton, and it's the $25 is across, from what I'm understanding, it's across the state. At least the Valley, because like I said, Valley, Green Bay, everybody, it was all $25.
Here's the thing, people talk about, people are going to need that daycare outside this daycare. Guess what? Everything outside
this
care.
Everything.
Manawa.
Oh. Yeah. I talked to my brother. We're $100 a week cheaper than my brother. So.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Vic has another comment on Fund 80.
Yep.
I get what you're saying, Chris, about funding, like that thing there. But because of circumstances and how we're taxing the funding year now, right? We had taxed the funding this last year. We're not taxing fully the funding this year. I'm not saying that buys time, but I think that's important to remember. because you have that going on right now. You won't have to tax full year Fund 80 next year. Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to solve Fund 80 in a day, right? You're not going to probably solve Fund 80 by April next year. I think your common ground in addressing your health fits. What's that?
We will tax Fund 80, not the whole fund. Yeah.
I think your path forward is that strategic direction of how are you going to start doing that collectively together. Are you going to use a committee? There was a lot of talk at your last meeting about committees on how you're going to address. Is it going to be the finance committee? Like, how are we going to do that? What does the full board want looked at? What are the priorities? What do we collectively look at from a finance committee? What do we look at from educational side? All those different things. I really believe that's the thing you have to come to common ground on, is that strategic path forward. And then recognize that you have the opportunity, because of where you're at, to work through that over the next year or two.
May I make a suggestion as a recommendation to the board? Is that the three of us, I think, understand the how it works quite well. We are somewhat educated on this, more than other board members are. Can I make the recommendation that it is not the finance committee, but the full board that gets some of this stuff, and we have to start at the board level, all of us, not just a committee member here and a committee there. We as a group have to be educated first before we can make the decision. And it doesn't mean send it back to the finance. No, the board needs to do this. Okay, I'm off my high horse.
Well, but the thing is, we're here as a committee and we're figuring this out so that the board can move forward.
Yeah, but we still, but now we as a committee feel comfortable saying that education is the next thing. And are, as you said, are we fully... This is a pretty amorphous idea. But so when we go back to concepts, not numbers, I think the concept of going to a referendum for operations is very advisable for this community and for the students within this district. And not everyone in this on the board agrees with that. But I would think that seeing what you guys bring forth helped me to understand that, because let's face it, 6 months ago I had no idea about any of this stuff. Sort of. It, but literally, you guys have brought it, and I think it needs to be brought to more than a portion of the board. It needs to be brought to the full board. That would be my recommendation. The board needs to have either work sessions or special sessions on this specific topic, so everyone on the board can bring their own questions. Because, as you say, everyone...
I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, then, just so you know.
Good. Well, can we make that recommendation?
Did you just say you agreed with it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's three of us.
All right.
Can I ask you what
I have it written down, aren't you?
What was that?
Can I ask you just one question?
Sure.
Think about it. Is the full board ready to hear that information?
If not now, when?
I know, but I think...
If not now, when?
They don't know what they don't know.
But are they going to be ready to hear the information?
I'm going to say this. I think we can go in there Monday, and when we report on our meeting tonight, we can lay the groundwork for this. And I honestly do believe that they all want to know, and they all want to learn, and they all want to know. Because
that I believe, absolutely.
I will tell you this right now, out of the seven people in that room, there's not one of them that like being wrong. Just going to throw it out there.
And I can put this out here too. I will send, if you guys, if anybody wants the video, wants the audio, whatever.
Thank you.
I will share that. Anybody that needs it, because I know we had with having the audio issues, I even offered some of the audio to Dina so that she could hear clearly without the static. So anybody that needs it, we're going to
because I think Monday you as a committee have to set that stage of getting the full board prepared to hear this information and the importance of it and the value of it. So they are going to be open-minded to these things. Because I've talked about this at a lot of different meetings or anything. Essentially, we've talked about this. I don't think it's kind of everybody's openly accepted it and recognized it the same way. It's something that we'll go through it again, I get that. But to really get to where we want to go in the short time frame we do have, like, we've got to get down to the point that everybody wants to hear it.
You hit the nail on the head before. Rome wasn't built overnight.
Yep.
And everything takes time.
Yep.
Including, you know, people, you know, getting on board with things. And you know, there's other hot topics out there. You got to remember, we're getting screamed at from 17 different ways about everything, you know.
About
so
23 different.
18 trains on four tracks and two conductors. And I think some also require a little more processing time. I
do.
This is one of those things, if I said I was never going to run this, because I'm one of these people that you guys would be murdering me by now, because I need processing time. I need a couple of days of processing. You can ask Jason. I send him text messages like, hey, we talked about this at the meeting. I have more questions now.
And that's perfect. That's,
I'll be honest,
gosh, I
love
that.
3 years ago when I walked onto this board, and I like to think of myself, I'm very good at my job, my day-to-day job, right? And a lot of that has to do with staying in budgets and
mm-hmm.
everything like that, right? So, but when I...